Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody, on this July 9th, 2013, a day when the Post and Daily News are already stretching for their cheeky front page Spitzer headlines. Did you see them? We'll talk to Spitzer's opponent in the controller race, Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer, in 20 minutes. It's a day when the state of Illinois is officially investigating whether ExxonMobil discriminates against gays and lesbians in hiring. A day when the New York Times reports that bidding wars are back for Manhattan apartments. Are we blowing bubbles again already? A day when BuzzFeed informs us that Vice President Joe Biden hasn't tweeted in more than 5 months. Now, be honest, how many of you have noticed him missing from your timeline? And it's a day when supporters of Obamacare are beginning to wonder, is it starting to come apart? Let's talk about that. Last week, just before the holiday, the administration announced at least a one-year delay in one of the building blocks of the Affordable Care Act, the employer mandate, the requirement that businesses with 50 full-time employees or more provide health insurance or pay a $2,000 per worker fine. Kate Nocera from Politico has – from BuzzFeed, formerly from Politico, has been writing about the Affordable Care Act. Hi, Kate. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
We should note, by the way, that the announcement came from the Treasury Department because it supervises the Internal Revenue Service. Why does the embattled IRS make the Obamacare delay announcement?
Well, they're going to be the ones, you know, making sure that people are paying the penalties, that people are, and that the law is being enforced. They're the ones that, in charge of enforcement, which, if you ask congressional Republicans, is maybe the worst idea ever. So that's why it's coming out of the Treasury.
And what was actually delayed?
So the employer mandate was delayed, which is a mandate that any employer with more than 50 employees, as you said, needs to provide health insurance coverage for their workers. Democrats will argue that this delay really only affects about 4% of businesses because most of us get our health insurance from our employers, right? And they don't believe that employers are going to take this away and drop their employees into the exchange. So Democrats are trying to spin this a little bit to say, you know, this is just going to make implementation easier. It's going to be a smoother path. But Republicans and you know, there are some moderate Democrats see that, you know, this implementation is not going as well as they had hoped.
Well, is this an admission to at least one of the criticisms of the law that the bureaucracy being set up for Obamacare is very complicated? Because this seems to have been hung on the paperwork, that it was going to be too difficult for these employers with around 50 employees to meet the requirements, to fill out the forms, literally, that they would have to by the beginning of next year.
Yeah, I do think to some extent it was an admission that it was going to be very difficult, and part of the Treasury statement, I believe, was that they were going to really try and simplify the requirements to make it easier for businesses to fill out this paperwork. The law, you get, you know, when these rules come out, there are hundreds and hundreds of pages, and it takes a long time to analyze them and figure out what exactly they say, what exactly they mean. And so I think that what you're seeing is the administration, you know, hearing those criticisms and trying to do something about it, but at the same time sort of worrying how this is all going to work and going to be put into place at the end of the day.
So, listeners, what are your new thoughts about Obamacare? What are your reactions to this one-year delay in the employer mandate? What are your questions for Kate Nocera from BuzzFeed, who is covering the politics and implementation of Obamacare? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we do have a call already. John in Farmingdale.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Hi, John.
How's it going?
Good. So this
affects... All right. I just wanted to...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You go.
All right. I sit on the Board of Education in Farmingdale, Long Island, and we've been dealing with the implications of the Affordable Care Act for our collective bargaining units that are not completely full-time employees, and we're looking at something like a $2 million a year hit if we have to cover these employees that, you know, skirt around the 30-hour week limit, and then they have to go into the New York State health insurance plan. And I think that's an implication that Congress didn't think about.
So this is to say that the Farmingdale School District has these employees. These are not the teachers, I presume.
Right. They're not teachers. The teachers are covered through the New York State health insurance plan.
Right. But your these other employees, you may be required, the school district may be required now to provide them health insurance under Obamacare.
That's correct. For employees who aren't currently covered, who are part of other collective bargaining units, who were below the, you know, right on that 30-hour
right.
a week full-time
and,
line.
And that's the definition of full-time under the law is 30 hours?
Yes.
So what do you think about this? I mean, you know, the supporters of Obamacare would probably say, hey, look, do your patriotic duty. Take the hit. Cover the workers. Everybody needs to be paying into the system now because this is how the Affordable Care Act makes health insurance affordable.
I understand that concept, but I think it was a consequence that no one really thought about. Everyone was worried about small businesses, big businesses. They didn't look at municipalities and school districts and how that's going to impact the taxpayer. You know, on Long Island, New York State, we're dealing with a 2% tax cap. With the employee
right.
retirement contributions, you know, our tax cap is eaten up every year just from the increases from the ERS and the TRS.
I hear you. So how much did you say this would cost additionally in your school district?
That's where we're working the numbers now, but we could be facing up to $2 million a year. Our budget's $159 million. There goes my tax cap.
John, thank
you. Not excluded.
Thank you very much. That is such an interesting call. And it's really a little, assuming he's got his numbers right and that story is straight, Kate Nocera, what an interesting piece of reporting there, really, on how this might affect property taxes in a place like Long Island, probably similar implications in a lot of places in the country.
I think there, you know, the problem is that our healthcare system is not, it's not uniform, right? So the healthcare system in New York is different, very different than the one from Texas or even Connecticut or Massachusetts. So when they're trying to unify the requirements across 50 states and what, you know, people are going to need, you're going to run into issues like this, and you're going to have groups and pockets of people who are saying, wait a second, you know, this is going to make our premiums go up. But what they're trying to do, like you said, is bring premiums down on average for everyone else.
Because if all the younger, healthier people are in the pool, like probably most of his 30-hour workers are, then it's going to bring down premiums on average for everybody. That's
right.
That's
but
part of the whole thing.
There are going to be people that experience what we call rate shock. You
right.
know, where their rates, if you're younger and healthier and you have health insurance now, you're going to see your rates go up. It's just, it's going to happen.
Let's go from John in Farmingdale, L.I., to Frank in Chester, N.J. Frank, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Brian. Brian, I'm an automobile dealer in New Jersey. I employ about 150 people. I've been to two seminars that our state associations put on. Because I'm very concerned about the cost going up. My insurance company's already noted that my cost this year will be 16% higher, and they say at least that match it possibly to 20% next year because they have to offset the cost of putting the people on who are you know, have pre-existing conditions. That's just one of them. And the fact that a lot of young people and some of my young employees also refuse to join, they're just going to pay the penalty. So this cost savings that everyone's talking about does not exist. I mean, and the reality is that it's not 4% that is affecting. It's affecting even the people who are employed and have insurance. And I cover most of my employees' insurance and their family, 85%.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking seriously. I'm talking with my employees about, you know, putting them on the government program and just raising their salary and getting myself completely off the insurance issue and let them deal with it because, you know, it is a factor that is going to become so expensive for businesses, they're going to walk away from it.
Frank, thank you very much. And Kate Nocera, this is one of the great fears of not just critics of Obamacare, but even supporters of Obamacare, that a lot of employers like Frank, and he said he's got 160 employees at his car dealerships, and has 85% of them covered with health insurance. But if it's going to go up that much, then why not? Why shouldn't people like Frank just drop the whole thing, let pay? He said he would pay his employees extra cash, right? Pay them what he now pays to the health insurer. Let them take that money and go on to the new exchanges that Obamacare will set up and get insured as individuals rather than workers. Why wouldn't we see that around the country?
Well, I think you're probably going to see some of that around the country. And Frank says he's going to pay his workers more. There are a lot of employers that are saying, you know what, we're going to put you on the exchange. And if you want to figure out getting a subsidy from the federal government, then that's on you. So I think it's going to depend a lot on the employer. It's going to depend a lot on, you know, how the insurance exchange is set up in each state, how functional the exchange actually is, how easy it is for the employees and the employers to use. A lot rides on the effectiveness of how each state does this. But I think you are going to hear a lot of employers talk about doing this, that this may be the best way to just avoid this entirely. And the delay...
Although there's no indication yet that this is going to happen on a widespread basis, right?
None. No indication. And, you know, the employers who want to give their employees health insurance, they are kind of looking to the federal government to say, you know, help us out, help us figure out how exactly we can do this in the most affordable way. And so I think what the administration is trying to do is figure out exactly how to do that.
Frank, are you still there by any chance?
I am. Frank, can you hear me?
Yeah. Let me ask you one follow-up question. Since the premise of delaying the employer mandate was the complication of actually reporting it, I wonder if you've looked at that yet and have an impression as an employer, because I'm thinking, what could have actually been so complicated here? You either have to tell them you have 50 employees or more, or you don't, and you either cover them with health insurance or you don't. Is it more complicated than that? Have you looked?
No, it is much more complicated than that, and I have to correct the young lady who's saying one thing. I sat in a six-hour seminar a month ago, and there were 80 dealers and their employees in there to try to sort out how this was going to affect us. And we're starting to realize that the effect is going to be much greater than the administration is saying it's going to be. And quite honestly, I disagree with her. There are a lot of businesses around the country and through their associations that are looking at this, and there's going to be a big pushback. And quite frankly, I think that's why the Obama administration postponed it, because they were afraid they were going to get killed in the 14 election. I mean, I don't think there's any other real political reason for them doing that. Plus, they tried to sneak it in on a Friday for 4th of July weekend so people wouldn't pay attention to it. But unlike your report here, trust me, businesses are paying great attention to it, and they're going to do whatever is most cost-effective for themselves. And since the government has decided they want to provide insurance for everybody, it's going to be much easier for employers to say, listen, you voted with this gentleman in, you voted in his concepts, now you live with his policies.
You certainly could see that logic. I could certainly see that logic. Frank, I wonder if one of the pushbacks against that in the marketplace is going to be that it's still to an employer's advantage to get the best possible workforce in most industries to offer insurance, which is where it came from in the first place, employer-based health insurance.
Brian,
it's a competitive advantage for employees. Do you not worry that the car dealership down the block is going to keep offering it and you're not going to get as good workers?
Brian, that's definitely that is a competitive issue, but the reality is most of my peers are looking at this and saying, we probably, as an industry, would be better not to do that. What I'm telling you is you have to start to look and see the groundswell that's starting to, and believe me, the administration's heard this already. They've heard it from our state representatives and everything else. There's a tremendous groundswell, and this is going to be much, much more difficult than most people think to implement.
Frank, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much for chiming in. Please call us again. Any other reaction that you have, Kate, before we go to another call or I ask you another question?
No, I would just say, you know, that yes, we hear a lot from businesses. We hear Frank's concerns that are real, and we've, you know, I've heard them in committee testimony and such. There's just, I hadn't seen, I think it could start to happen that more businesses will talk about this, but, you know, big businesses that employ hundreds and hundreds of employees, there's not indication yet that they're going to drop their employees onto an exchange.
Here is Dave in Maspeth calling to say maybe this is a good idea if all employees drop their workers. Is that right, Dave?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, am I right in saying that employee health coverage is a leftover from World War II? Yes? This was never set up to be like this. This was something that happened in World War II, and it's just kind of left over there. We're the only country that does this. Shouldn't everybody be saying, hey, employers can finally just employ the workers and they can go on the exchanges themselves and it becomes separate? After all, if somebody, how many people, you've heard this a million times, how many people say, well, I can't leave my job because I hate it and it stinks and I can't go anywhere, but I like the health insurance.
And,
so,
and
I mean,
Dave,
is this a good thing?
I totally hear you. And maybe this is where, Kate, it's going to evolve, too. If there are a lot of employers like Frank, and Frank didn't say where he's going to come out for himself on this question, but a lot of employers who say, okay, I don't need the competitive advantage anymore of offering health insurance and walk away from it. Some will still do it for competitive advantage, but other than that, we'll be a nation of individuals buying health insurance that is regulated by the government through these exchanges, or we'll wind up drifting towards single payer as a result.
Right. I think there are people on both sides of the aisle, actually, that would like to see health insurance separated from work, that it would be sort of a freeing thing for individuals to be able to travel with their health insurance, to leave their jobs. People get out of, you know, job lock, like you said. I think that the concern right now is because, you know, the most people do get their health insurance through their employees, even if it is something that, you know, a number of people would like to see change, is that the cost of the law will inevitably go up if you have more people on the exchange who are getting subsidies. And so I think a lot of people would have to sort of evaluate how that is going to work.
Right. Of course, we may wind up with more uninsured than we started with before we jump to any conclusion that that would be such a wonderful system. Because, for example, the Republicans are talking about a next line of attack, which is if the employer mandate is suspended for a year, how can the individual mandate still kick in 2014?
Right.
Is that unfair to those workers?
Right.
And again, that may just be a talking point, or maybe they're going to try to legislate, or maybe they're even going to try to go to court. But then you get the problem that Frank was also talking about before, which is that if these tax penalties, and that's why the IRS made the announcement, that's why they administer it, these are tax penalties, are only $2,000 per worker, then a lot of the employers are going to choose that, which is much cheaper than health insurance. And as he said, a lot of the younger, healthier workers are going to choose to pay their little tax penalty instead of buying their multi-$1,000 health insurance plan, even with whatever subsidies they may get under Obamacare.
Right.
And then we may wind up having just as many uninsured or more or not that many less as we have today.
Republicans are definitely talking about delaying the individual mandate. It is something I've heard from leadership that they would like to start moving this summer to make their case that if you're going to delay something for businesses, why not do the same thing?
Is that a legal argument in court or is that a political argument?
I haven't heard it. They've only just started to discuss whether or not the administration actually has the legal authority to delay the employer mandate, but for now they are going to make the political argument.
And it is true that under the law that Congress passed, that employer mandate goes into effect at the beginning of 2014. Now the Obama administration, as an executive branch action, has unilaterally suspended it. Can they even do that?
Right. So that's the question right now that I think people are still trying to determine and figure out.
Pretty interesting. All right. Kate Nocera from BuzzFeed covering Obamacare. Kate, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for having me.
Brian Lehrer in WNYC. And coming up next, the candidate for New York City comptroller, who Elliot Spitzer is trying to push aside, Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer. Stay tuned.